Hi, my name is Stephen Walther, and in this video, I'm going to be giving you an overview of ASP.NET MVC applications. My real goal is to explain, well, the three letters MVC. I want to explain the different parts of the model view controller application. So I want to explain what models are, what views are, and what controllers are. So I really want to give you a sense of how all these things work together and how, you know, an MVC application differs from an ASP.NET web forms application or even an active server pages application. So let's start by creating a new Visual Studio project. We'll create an ASP.NET MVC application in Visual Studio. So let me switch over to Visual Studio and I'm going to go to File, New Project. And I'm going to select Visual Basic over here on the left. I could, you know, of course, if I wanted to, use C Sharp as my language. And then over here on the right, I'm going to select the ASP.NET MVC web application template. The default name of MVC application 1, not the best name in the world, I'm going to stick with it since this is just a throwaway application. Click OK. And next thing it's going to ask is it's going to ask whether I want to create a project for creating unit tests for my new MVC application. I'm just going to select no because we're not going to be using unit tests. And there we go. If you go over here to Solution Explorer, you'll notice that we get a bunch of default folders and some default files. So what's going on here? Well, again, you'll notice that we get a folder that corresponds to each of the letters in MVC. We get a models folder, a views folder, and a controllers folder. So what's going on with those folders? Well, the best way to kind of get a handle on what's going on with the content of these folders is to run an MVC application. And fortunately for us, we get a default MVC application when we create a new MVC application in Visual Studio. If you open up the controllers folder, you'll notice that we get a default controller. And if you open up the views folder, you'll notice that we actually get, you know, a subfolder with some views in it. So we can go ahead and run this and we'll get a very, very simple sample application. So I'm going to go ahead and hit run. It's going to ask me whether I want to go into debug mode. I'm going to click OK, and it's opening up a browser, and there we go. We get our sample MVC application. Now, this is, you know, an insanely simple application we get. It only consists of two pages. It consists of this home page right here. That's what we're seeing by default, and if you click About Us, you get this About page right here. So that's it in terms of the application. The important thing to notice about the sample application is the URL, the address bar up here in your browser. If I click on home, notice that the URL is forward slash home. It's going to some content at forward slash home. If I click on about, the URL says forward slash, you know, about. Okay, so let's close down the browser and let's try to find, you know, the home and the about content. So I'm going to go over here to the Solution Explorer window. I'm looking for forward slash about. I'm not finding it. It's nowhere to be found. So what's going on? Why can't I find, you know, forward slash home or forward slash about within my solution files? Well, this points to a really kind of critical difference between an ASP.NET Web Forms or Active Server Pages Classic application and an ASP.NET MVC application. So in a ASP.NET Web Forms application, or for that matter, an ASP Classic application, a URL corresponds to a page on disk. In other words, if you type in a URL in your browser and you hit enter, there better be a page that corresponds to that URL on your web server, or you're going to get back an error. You're going to get back a 404 error. That's not how it works in an ASP.NET MVC application. In an ASP.NET MVC application, a URL corresponds to something called a controller action. So you type in a URL, you hit return. It's not a page that's requested from the server. What happens is a particular method of a particular class gets invoked, and so some application logic runs. So one way to think about this is An ASP.NET Web Forms application, or Active Server Pages classic application, is kind of content centric, right? It's all concerned about, you know, what content do you get back when you type in a certain URL. An ASP.NET MVC application, on the other hand, is more kind of logic centric. It's more concerned about, you know, well, what kind of, you know, logic to invoke on the server when you type in a URL. And that business logic might, you know, do something like it might return some HTML content back to the browser, but it could do anything you want. It could throw back an error message, it could redirect you to some other kind of, you know, logic that runs on the server. But it's logic that runs, it's not content that's returned. So how does a URL get mapped over to a certain bit of logic in an ASP.NET MVC application? Well, that's where something called URL routing comes in. URL routing is responsible for mapping a URL to a particular controller action. So let me explain how that works. I'm going to switch back to Visual Studio, and let me double click on this global.sax file here. And let me show you what's going on inside of that. So the global.sax file contains all of the you know, sort of application lifecycle events. So one of those events is the application start event. That event's raised right when your, you know, application starts up. And you'll notice inside of this global.sax file, this method called registerRoutes is called. And registerRoutes, what that does is it sets up something called a route table for your MVC application. Now, what the route table does is it's responsible for mapping URLs to particular controller actions. And you'll notice that they give you a default route inside of here. This guy right here, in fact, it's actually named default. So by default, they're going to assume that if you type in a URL, the URL is going to have three parts. The first part is going to be the name of controller. The second part is going to be the name of an action. And finally, the third part is going to represent, you know, an ID. And they also give you default values for these three parts. So if you don't type in the name of controller, it's going to default to the name home. If you don't type in the name of an action, it's going to default to the name index. And finally, if you don't type in an ID, it's just going default to an empty string. So switch back over here for a second. So we were looking for that page called, you know, home before. It doesn't exist. If you type in just /home, what happens is that's by default, that turns into /home, /index. And then, you know, of course there's an empty string because there's no ID there. If you type in, you know, home about, and that gets mapped over to the home controller, and the about action on the home controller gets called. If you typed in something like, you know, my controller do something, you know, 34, what would happen is it's going to invoke a controller called my controller. It's going to call the do something method on that controller, and it's going to pass over a parameter with the value 34 named ID into it. So so let's take a look now at the controllers. To see how, you know, sort of what our controller looks like internally. So we get the one controller by default in our sample application, the home controller. So I just opened it up over here. It is, you know, in the controllers folder. All of the controllers that you create will be in the controllers folder. And you notice that the home controller has two functions inside of it. It has a index function and it has an about function. That's good because, you know, the index function is what gets called when you do /home, /index. The about action is called when you type into your browser, if you type home /about. So that's how it works. What both of these functions do is they both return a view. So we've now, you know, we've talked about controllers, and controllers often what they do internally is a controller action just returns a view back from it. So how does this work? Well, if you just say return view, the name of the view is inferred from the name of the controller action. So what's going to happen here is the MVC framework is going to look for a view called index, because that's the name of the action, in a folder called home, because that's the name of the controller. So we do have that. If I go over to my Solution Explorer window again and expand out this views folder, you'll notice that there is a home subfolder, so that corresponds to the name of the controller. And inside of that home subfolder, you have two views called about and index, which is, you know, good because we're returning a view both from the index action and from the about action. and these are the views that get returned. It's all mapped by convention. It all has to follow that convention of, you know, how you lay out these different files within your solution. All right, so what's a view look like? Well, this shouldn't be surprising. If I open up a view, you notice that, you know, it's just HTML. So inside of here, we have, you know, normal HTML tags. This contains all of your, you know, all of the content that you want to display to the user. So normally it just contains some HTML content inside of it. All right, so we've talked at this point, we've managed to talk about, you know, controllers and views. And you remember what a controller is responsible for doing is, you know, firing off some logic when a request is made from a browser. So fires off some logic in response to a browser request. And a view contains the sort of HTML markup and content that is returned to the browser. So the only thing left in this MVC stuff is, well, what's the model? So we've talked about the view and the controller. So where does the model come in? Well, the idea of the model is supposed to consist of all your, you know, all your logic, all your sort of application logic, all your database access logic, all that stuff goes into the model. So the model really consists of a bunch of classes. Another way of explaining that is, you know, over here in our controller, these controller functions right now are really, really, you know, small. I mean, we don't have a lot of logic going on inside of the index function or the about function, and that's the way it's supposed to be. You always want your controller actions to be, you know, very, very skinny. They should only contain sort of the minimal amount of logic to be able to decide which view to show, or, you know, what kind of response to perform in response to a browser request. You want to put all of your application logic, all your data access stuff, all that kind of stuff into a bunch of classes that you stick inside of your models folder. And then you can call out to those classes within your controller method. So the general way of explaining that is to say that controllers should be skinny, models should be fat, all your application logic should be, in general, it should be pushed over into your model. So model consists of, you know, sort of business logic, data access logic, all the logic that makes up your application. So that's the MVC, that's the model, view, and controller. So anyway, so this was a very, very high level overview of the different parts of an ASP.NET MVC application, but I hope it gives you enough to sort of get started understanding what's going on with the different parts of an MVC application.